You're listening to Crosstalk, Season 1, Episode 2.
At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you, Jesus.
Welcome to Crosstalk. Our goal is to equip you with tools to transform lives to reach the world. Hi, my name is Jason Sism, and welcome to Crosstalk. So glad that you're here today, because we have a great series that we started last week on our very first podcast season called Choices. Today we're going to look at choosing to listen. We began in the book of Esther, chapter 1 last week, and we're continuing on in Esther this week in chapter 2. We pick up where King Xerxes has actually banished Queen Vashti, and she is no longer welcome back into the royal palace. She's not allowed to come before him. She's not allowed to enter his presence. She is done. She's put out of the kingdom. She's not welcomed back. All simply because she made a wrong choice. She chose not to listen to the king. And last week we looked at the fact that when we fail to listen to God, our lives actually go in reverse. People who are backslidden are actually probably the most miserable people on earth, because they're not living their lives to the full. They're not living their lives for the kingdom of God. They're actually living very selfish lives, and they're actually living lives that really benefit nobody but themselves. And when you think about the grace of God, and how the grace of God is poured into our lives when we have accepted Him as our Lord and Savior, how much more then should we be, out of that grace, be giving into the lives of other people? See, if we're not giving into the lives of other people, and we are just in the Christian walk for ourselves, we benefit nobody. It's all about us. It's all about I. And we're actually not really being what God has called us to be, and that is the light of the world. You know that little song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel." No, I'm going to let it shine. That is what our lives as believers is all about, is letting the light of Christ shine. But in order to do that, we need to take a step back, and we actually need to focus our hearing, tune our hearing to what Christ has to say. When the king calls, are we going to listen? See, he needs to be first in our lives. He needs to be reigning supreme in our lives. And if he's not reigning supreme in our lives, then what are we really doing? See, in the local church, the pastor asks for volunteers. He asks for people to help. He asks people to serve in life groups. But if you're just coming and sitting in a chair, you're not benefiting the church. You're not benefiting your community. And you're actually causing more work to be done by fewer volunteers. You know, the statement really is true. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray now the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the field to bring forth the harvest. You see, our whole goal as believers in Christ is to help more people find true life in Jesus Christ. And really, my goal on jbsism.com is to help people draw near to God. Well, how do I help people draw near to God? I give you simple tools that you can apply to your life right now and see an immediate result. And if you take the tools that I give you, and you take what I am saying out of the Word of God, don't take my word for it, research it in the Word yourself, but you take what Scripture says, you apply it to your life, and you're going to see immediate results. And that is why us as believers, when we sit back and allow God to minister into our lives, we take a moment and we listen. Allow His Word to process in our spirit. Allow His Word to process in our minds and go down deep. We can then draw from that resource when we encounter somebody who doesn't know Jesus, so that we can then pour into their lives. My father and I were talking this last week, and I'm actually going to be speaking at church on Sunday, and I'm going to be talking about living a generous life and talking really about generous grace and how our lives are not to be just receivers of God's grace, but also givers of God's grace. And my dad made a very interesting statement, and I love the statement that he made. He said, grace is more than just the unmerited favor of God, though that is very true. Grace is also the inflow and the outflow of God. Now, that means grace begins with God, it ends with God. Grace is in existence because of God. And so out of what God teaches us, out of what God speaks to us in our moments of quiet, especially when we sit down and we take a moment every day to listen to His Word, it's amazing what happens. He speaks. It sounds so simple, but the fact is, it really is simple. If we take the moment and we allow God to speak, and we listen, something amazing happens. But we have to take that, and we can't just hold it into our own self. We have to take it, and we have to give it. Give out of what God has given us. So we come to Esther chapter 2, and Xerxes, the king of Persia, has banished the queen. She's no longer welcome in his presence. And we now meet Esther. Let's pick up in Esther chapter 2, verse 5. Now there was in the citadel of Susa a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin, named Mordecai, son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, who had been carried into exile from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Among those taken captive was Jehohanan, king of Judah. Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah, whom he brought up because she had neither mother or father. This girl, who was known as Esther, was lovely in form and features, and Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when her mother and father died. What do we know about Esther so far? Well, one, we know she's an orphan. Two, we know that she lives with her cousin. And three, we know that her parents are dead. So here we have a girl who has no family living. And we don't know what happened to her parents. We don't know why they're dead. We don't know when they died. But we also know that Mordecai brought her up as his own. So that tells me that Mordecai, her cousin, was more than likely her elder. And so she had to respect him. He probably taught her the law of Moses. He probably taught her what it means to be a good Jew, what it means to honor God in everything. But here we have a young girl who has her whole life before her. But unbeknownst to her, something remarkable happens. Something that she didn't expect. But here's the thing. I believe that God was preparing Esther for a moment such as this. I believe he was preparing her for a moment when she would meet the king of Persia, and she would end up, through the hand of God, by her obedience, saving not only her cousin Mordecai, but saving the entire nation of Israel. Now, I believe if she had known that ahead of time, she probably would have went running the other direction. But Esther honored God, and I believe she was a God-fearing Jew. I don't think she was a secular Jew. I don't think she just idly lived life by, but I think she understood who God was. I think she understood who she was as a woman. Because if you read through the book of Esther, you get an understanding of the kind of woman that she really was. And I believe that not only did she love her people, but I believe that she loved God first and foremost. So what does this have to do with us? Well, if Esther's an orphan, so are we. 6,000 years ago, or a little bit more, we're not sure, Adam and Eve sinned. They listened to a lie. They listened to the fact that they could be like God. Well, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." The thing is, Adam and Eve were already like God. They couldn't be any more like God than they already were. But they listened to that still, small voice of a lie. A lie that said, God's holding out on you. A lie that said, there's more to be had. And you don't have the full story. You don't have the full comprehension. If you really want to be like God, you got to take a bite of this fruit. And when they did, the Bible says that their eyes were opened and they realized they were naked. And they hid. They covered themselves in fig leaves and they hid. And at that moment, from that moment forward, all mankind became orphans. We were orphaned from God. We were ripped away from God by two people's selfishness. And because of that, the entire human race has had to suffer because of that. So we were orphans. We have no right into the kingdom of God. We are completely separated, completely isolated from God. But the great thing is, the Bible says that we are all like sheep who have gone astray, each one to his own way. But that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. You see, because of God, because of his grace, and because of his mercy, it was poured out onto us to have that available. But all we have to do is accept it. You see, God looks at us as beautiful. See, Esther was beautiful. The Bible says that she found favor in the king's eyes. And I believe that even though we are fallen people, I believe that God still finds favor. And we have favor in the eyes of God because he finds us attractive. He finds us beautiful. And the thing is, God wants our heart. God wants our best. And the question is, are we going to give our best to God? You see, the story goes on in Esther chapter 2 where she was paraded before the king. But the thing is, Esther prepared herself ahead of time. She prepared herself. It took her 10 months of living in the citadel. And she couldn't go unless the king said to go. And so Esther stayed. She prepared herself for the moment when the king called her. You see, Esther ravished the king's heart. And the thing is, Are we ravishing God's heart? And I believe that for us to ravish God's heart, we have to learn to listen. We have to learn to listen that when God calls, that we're going to obey, we're going to move forward, we're going to walk forward. There's a song that Audio Adrenaline has done recently called Boys Become Queens and Girls Become Queens, Wrapped in Your Majesty. And I think that is such a beautiful picture of how God views us. We're not just people milling around on the earth. We are people called with a purpose. We are people called with a destiny. And the question we have to ask ourselves, am I willing to be called? Am I willing to go forward? Am I willing to be equipped? Am I willing to be transformed so that I can reach my world? And these are the three things I want to talk about today, really is equip, transform, and reach. And I know you've heard me say this in the last podcast, and yet today as well, that my whole purpose at jbcism.com is to equip people with the tools they need to transform lives so that they can in turn reach the world. So it becomes a disciple process. What does it mean to be equipped? You see, God has granted us gifts. Ephesians 4:7, 12 through 16 says this: To each one grace has been given, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift, or the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What is the Apostle Paul saying here? He's saying that it is the equipping of the saints who do the work of the ministry. And I think that's a misconception so many people have in the church today, is that it is the pastor or the minister who does the work of the ministry. No, the pastor's job is to do the equipping of the saints who do the work of the ministry. So that's my whole goal, is to equip you to do ministry. And I think one of the greatest forms of ministry that we can do as believers is in the areas of small group or life groups. Because it's small groups of people meeting in a home together, serving one another in love. And so when we are equipped to do ministry through the Word of God, see, it's the Word of God that equips us. It's the Word of God that gives us the tools we need. We have it all at our fingertips. We just have to choose to listen to it, and we have to choose to abide by it. We also have to choose to use it. And when we use the Word of God in helping other people, we are sowing seeds into their lives to transform them. See, our goal is to lift up and edify the body of Christ, but we can't do that unless we first take a back seat and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You see, we have to choose to listen. We have to choose to obey. And so, the first step is to be equipped. So I encourage you, when you're at church, take your notes. You can even use your Sunday sermon notes that you write out. Write out the main points your pastor gives you. Write out the scriptures and use that as a template for your small group. And you can lead your small group and see their lives completely transformed. And that's what it's all about. Secondly, is transformed lives. You see, when we are equipped to do the work of the ministry, are edifying the body of Christ, and are using our spiritual gifts edifies. Using our spiritual gifts with faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ gives people reason to take their faith to the next level. When they see us using our faith, it encourages them to use their faith. And I hope you understand what I'm trying to say here. Because our goal as believers is not to have faith just for ourselves, but our goal as believers is to take our faith and help somebody else go deeper in their faith. Take them from where they are here, right now, and help move them just a couple of ticks over to a better life in Jesus. And so when we are equipped to transform lives, those lives we touch, those lives we sow seeds into, we can then teach them to do what we do. And that's what discipleship is all about, is we take what we've learned and we help their lives get changed, and then we teach them to do what we did with them. And so we teach them to transform lives. And that's how we reach the world. So equip, transform, and reach. Take the tools you learn, and you use them. And then you use them to teach. And so when we come back to Esther, you think I forgot about Esther? I didn't. When we come back to Esther, verse 17 says, "Now the king was attracted to Esther more than any other woman, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the others. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti." You see, the big difference between Esther and Vashti is this. Vashti failed to listen to the king. Vashti chose to live life the way she wanted to live life. She thought that she could do better on her own than what the king wanted. But Esther took the time. She prepared herself. She sat down and she got beautified by the beauticians. And she prepared herself mentally and physically and emotionally before she was brought before the king. And when she was brought before the king, because she was completely transformed, she found favor in the king's eyes. You see, for us to win the favor of God, we have to take a look at ourselves and we have to say, is my life right with Christ? Is my life right? What do I have to do to prepare myself to come before the king? And I think there's three things, actually, that we need to do to prepare ourselves to come before God. Number one, we have to repent. And that means repenting of anything that is selfish. Repent of anything that is I-centristic. And you say, "Dear God, I'm sorry. I know I'm a sinner. I know I have failed you. But I know because of your grace, I can come back into right standing with you." And so as a believer, we can pray a prayer like that, and we can rededicate our life to Christ. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, and you're listening to this for the first time, and you're wondering, well, how is it that I can effectively change people's lives? It has to first start with you. One, you have to admit that you're a sinner, that you're separated from God, that there is no good in you. But the great thing is, and the great news is, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for your sins and for my sin. And though we are separated from God, we, in a sense, are like Esther, and we are born as orphans. We can come before God and say, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God had raised him from the dead. And if you pray a prayer like that, you are saved. Because with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. You see, that's all it is. It's believing in your heart and confessing in your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And the second thing you need to do is you need to get baptized. Make that declaration that I want to be baptized. And then third, you got to find a good church. You got to find a church to get planted in. And if you find a church to get planted in, make sure it's a good Bible-believing church where they put the Bible first in our relationship with God first, above doctrines or dogma. But it's a good Bible-believing church that will help you get grounded in the Word of God. You see, we prepare ourselves by admitting we're a sinner. So that's the first step. The second step that we've got to do is we need to have that daily relationship with Jesus. We need to set aside time every day and make sure that we are listening to the voice of God, listening to the voice of the King. And are we going to just ignore His voice, or are we going to listen to it? And if we want to get to know Him, you got to listen to it. And the best way to listen to His voice is through prayer and through reading His Word. The Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. There is so much life in the Word of God. And every time you read it, you get something new out of it. And that's because it is alive, it is living, it is more powerful than anything on earth. And so, you have to get in a daily relationship with Jesus. Father God, I pray that as we close this out, Lord, that people would begin to listen to You. And that You would give people the understanding that they can transform lives for eternity. I want to thank You for tuning in today to Crosstalk. I'm Jason Sism. So glad that you're here. For more information, visit jbsism.com. And until next time, I'm Jason Sism.